What's popping? I didn't know who was going to talk first since we didn't discuss it. So pop, I just jumped in there. Remzo, what's happening, man? It's SPC Pop, where every other week, Remzo and myself, we take a break from just looking at some older comics and we talk, well, we talk whatever we want, really, but anything related to comic book culture and such. And this week, we're going to be breaking down what, Remzo? Something you wrote about recently.
We are covering everything going on at the DC Studios, which feels weird to say because it's almost like they should have had one for a while. But yes, we have allowed the turd to kind of sit in the toilet for a little bit. It's been over a month and the details have just kind of settled, especially now since everyone has pretty much come to one of two camps. They either absolutely hate everything that James Gunn is doing or they're more or less ambivalent. I have yet to see anybody say, yes, I actively want this new course. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go ahead and pull up that video that many of you have gone ahead and already created satanic effigies of, wishing curses upon this old man. And we're just going to go ahead and give our thoughts. And I mean, Mark, before we get started, I was pretty lenient to jump to judgment when it came to this. And over time, I've just grown angry.
Well, that's how these things tend to work in general. There's a some kind of announcement. Maybe it piques a little excitement. And then you remember who you're dealing with. And not even just James Gunn specifically here. I just mean you're dealing with huge conglomerates, giant TV studios. And whenever you're dealing with studios like that and you're dealing with a lot of money, you're dealing in the hundreds of billions of dollars when we talk about across a bunch of projects, there's going to be execs that get involved one way or another. So now this is the Gunnverse and he's going to have free reign and kind of be the Feige. But that's for now. You know, who knows how many times companies get sold, who actually owns and controls DC, who controls the movie rights by the time, you know, this stuff all plays out, because he has a pretty big vision. And I'll give it credit for being a grand vision. It is a grand vision. So, I mean, there's that. Maybe I don't know exactly what the point of the grand vision is or where he's going with it. But nonetheless, he's laid something out here. So we're going to, instead of just talking about everything, we're gonna let James Gunn tell you in his own words. Before we do that, Remzo, just what are your thoughts prior to all this stuff, prior to James Gunn being brought in as the head honcho at DC? What did you just think of James Gunn as a director overall?
As a director, I never had a problem. You know, Dawn of the Dead is one of my favorite horror movies.
He did that one. I only know about Guardians of the Galaxy and Peacemaker. I don't know.
Did
what
you ever watch Scooby-Doo?
No.
The live action one from 2000?
No.
He did that with
You say this as if I should have.
Well, it's not.
I wasn't seven in 2000 like you. I was in my 20s.
What's weird about it is like that movie hasn't really aged well, because as people go back, there's a lot of stuff that's like not for kids in that movie, which is kind of weird because he was making it more for like, you know, an older audience in a way, which is, I mean, it satisfies the needs for kids. But like going back, it's like there's some inappropriate stuff in there that I don't think should have probably been in there. That movie has kind of soured on me. But, you know, I like the Guardians films. I think he's a good director. I think he knows how to cast people. I think he doesn't get enough chops for being a brilliant screenwriter. I think that, you know, he is talented, but I don't believe he is the most ethical person. I don't believe he is really playing as fairly with others as he's saying that he is.
I don't follow behind the scenes stuff at all. What are the ethics?
Well, he screwed over Henry Cavill. Henry Cavill went ahead and said that he was brought back as Superman, and James Gunn said, no, that was never a thing.
But not by James Gunn. It was by the previous folks, right?
But he tied Gunn into it. Now, of course, it had to do with Danny Garcia, who was The Rock's producer, manager, ex-wife, all those things, who brought him back. Like, it was a whole thing. Long story short, Henry Cavill tried to not make it seem like it was all James' fault, but it was pretty much his fault. And so
I'm not saying it's not his fault. I'm saying James Gunn didn't bring him back in the first place. So if he happened to have a different direction he wanted to go, it's not like he brought him on and brought him off. He only brought him off.
It's my point. It's a whole messy thing, but I don't like how it was handled.
I don't have a dog in the fight, so whatever.
I'm team Henry. I'm team.
Oh,
Henry.
No, I mean, yeah. I like Henry Cavill and I want to see him as Superman. I have that dog in the fight. I just mean, I have no strong opinions over whether James Gunn should remove him or not, because if it doesn't fit his vision, then whatever. They gave him the role, so he can do it if he wants. But it's certainly not a fan pleasing move on the surface.
Yeah. I mean, last week he also went ahead and said that Ben Affleck, he had met with Ben Affleck and that Ben Affleck was really excited to direct a DC film. Ben Affleck sat down with People Magazine and straight up said, I'm not going to direct anything that is led by Gunn. Good luck to them, but I'm not involved. So, I mean, Gunn is like putting out all these things, talking about like all these meetings with people. And then the people come out and they're like, that's not what happened. So I think it's Mark Berlanti who did the Arrowverse. I mean, he wasn't even included in any of the meetings. It's like all the people that had worked on the Arrowverse shows have some way been integrated with the new DC studios, except to him. And it's like, that's just kind of a dick move. So, you know, it's just there's a lot of weird shit going on. And it seems like each time he goes ahead and announces somebody being involved with something, everyone is like, nah, you know, we're not involved.
All right, well, we can just sit here and talk about James Gunn behind his back, or we can welcome everybody, our guest today.
Everybody, I'm James Gunn.
Hold on, I fired that off too quickly. Look, it's our first time experimenting with watching a video and commenting on it, but this is a good time, if you're an audio listener, to head over to the YouTube, where you'll be able to see my expert streaming skills, which did take a lot of behind the scenes figuring out to get this video of James Gunn to you. So you'll obviously be able to hear it on the audio as well, but we're just going to look at this video that came out maybe a month ago or so, and there's been some other news that's trickled out since then. So we're going to see what James Gunn has to say, and I will feel free to chime in whenever you want, Remzo. I'll pause it if I need to, or obviously I will pause it for myself. So that being said, here it is, Mr. James Gunn, everybody.
Hey, I'm the co-CEO of DC Studios. So as many of you know, DC...
I hate this YouTube style of like little camera cuts where they're just zooming in like a centimeter and zooming back out.
They should hire Paul Joseph Watson to do that shit.
Just let someone talk on camera for an extended period of time without jumping. I don't need these jump cuts. They drive me nuts. Anyway, moving on.
DC has been disconnected in film and television for a long time. And it's one of...
And then they do it again. The jump out, the zoom out.
Is to come in and make sure the DCU is connected in film, television, gaming, and animation.
Okay, let's stop right there. What do you think just about this overall concept of, because there's things I like about it, that he wants a coherent DCU where you see the same characters, the same faces, representing these characters, the same actors representing the same characters across multimedia, across TV, across film, across video games. Before we get into his specifics, just what do you think about the overall concept here? Which I don't think that's ever really been done. I mean, Marvel's obviously very interconnected with their movies and now the TV properties, but this is like an extra step beyond that of also including cartoons, video games, having all those actors play all those roles.
I with the actors portion of it, I don't really know whether that's necessary. I really don't. Like, I don't have anything against it, but it's like, you know, it was never one of those things that bothered me before. I never had a problem with, like, you know, Obi-Wan in the movies for Star Wars being played by Ewan McGregor, and then there being another actor playing the character's voice in, like, Clone Wars and stuff like that. And those were as interconnected as you could possibly imagine. So, I mean, I'm not for or against that. I think that's interesting, and that's gonna, be a big commitment for whoever signs on, because these aren't just, like, you know, a few film contracts. You're talking years, and you're talking multi-property contracts. So, I mean, that's gonna be big. Secondly, you know, I think what I found refreshing about the DC universe over the last couple of years, and, you know, I'm not denying it didn't have problems, but, like, you know, I liked different flavors of stuff coming out. I liked the live action shows. I liked the films. I liked the animated stuff. I liked the video games. I always felt like they were all done intentionally to be good properties. And while people might not have liked everything that came out, at least there was a good flavor, and I felt like if one property didn't do as great, others didn't have to suffer. I mean, we had Titans, which was a trash show, but we had Young Justice, which was a phenomenal series, and now it seems like all those great projects are kind of being halted for the sake of this singular universe. And, you know, with Marvel, I feel kind of dragged because I haven't watched a couple of the Disney Plus shows. I don't know if I'm going to watch a couple of the movies, but now I feel like everything is so woven in together. At some point, I'm going to be lost. To me, who has spent my entire life putting time and money into this lore and everything else, I'm afraid of falling out with the canon. And at least with DC, you had exit points for people. You had different flavors that people could come to accommodate. But I don't think I'm as married to the idea of everything needs to be in one single universe as I once did. I think, if anything, there's some value to it. I mean, people might not like Joss Whedon's Justice League, but they can at least go ahead and see a great Batman movie or a great Joker movie. I think what they're doing is that they're falling into the trap that Snyder and the early Warner Brothers producers did, which is they want to compete with Marvel so badly. They want to try and just outdo them at any point. And while they think that they can follow this and maybe stagger it out across a couple of films, unlike what they did early on, which was a couple movies and then Justice League, I think what they're doing now is ultimately going to shoot them in the foot. I'm not very excited about this.
I wonder if this whole interconnectivity thing could preclude them from getting certain actors for a big project. Like, if some awesome actor, I don't know, Harvey Keitel, is he still alive?
Harvey Keitel's still alive.
As Commissioner Gordon? I'm just doing weird fan casting here. Just for an example. Yeah, okay, fuck it. Let's roll with it. What about this? Joe Pesci as the Penguin. How about that? You like that one?
I think that would pull off.
All right, maybe, so they want to get Joe Pesci for the Penguin, right? But they have all these other TV shows and video games, and Joe Pesci's like, yeah, I'll be the Penguin. When whatever's, and they're like, yeah, but we need you to come into the studio and record 70 more hours for video games, and also then you need to be Commissioner Gordon in this other TV show with a Batgirl we're gonna do, blah 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 blah. So then it's like Joe Pesci's like, fuck this shit, I'm not gonna do all that, or like they just can't work it out because he's got too much.
They barely managed to handle the actors that they had under contract. I mean, we didn't even see Superman's face for like 3 fucking years until the end of Black Adam, and they wouldn't even show you Wonder Woman or Superman in Peacemaker season 1. So it's like, you got these people on contract. How do I know you're going to use them? This sounds like a commitment to use them, which is what I think he understands. And I think, and he says this in other interviews, he understands how the studio screwed up. So maybe this is his way of fixing it. But I mean, you can't lock down a Tom Cruise for this. You can't lock down a Robert Downey Jr. You can't lock down any of these heavy hitters unless they really love it. And there are people who do really love it, like Jason Momoa. That man needs the money. He could go ahead and do the video games and the shows and everything. Chris Hemsworth over at Marvel has said he'll do anything and everything for Thor for as long as fans want. So I'm not saying that you don't get big A-list stars who are willing to do it, but I mean, that really narrows down the pool, because that's a big fucking commitment.
I just pictured Tom Cruise as Batman and Joe Pesci as the Penguin, and I would love Tom Cruise as Batman. It would be absurd and awesome. Do you know that Tom Cruise has exactly 2 faces he makes? We've recently done this analysis, watching Eyes Wide Shut and then a number of other movies.
Confusion and anger.
So confusion and anger are kind of in one face. It's the concerned face. That's the face. It's this. And then there'll be some zoom ins on him, whatever. That's one overall look. And then he has sarcastically laughing face.
Like on Oprah.
And sometimes you think he's going to be concerned, but he pivots and goes sarcastic laughing face. So yeah, like on Oprah. Yeah, but he does that in all his movies. And we've realized that you can break down every single look on his face into one of those 2 categories. Anyway, little tidbit about Tom Cruise.
My life is enlightened.
All right, enough about Tom Cruise. Back at James Gunn.
That the characters are consistent, played by the same actors, and it works within one story. And if something is outside of that, like Matt Reeves' Batman or Todd Phillips' Joker or Teen Titans Go, that it is clearly labeled as DC Elseworlds, outside of the mainstream DCU continuity.
Oh, so everything I just said isn't actually true, because we're also going to have Elseworlds where everything is different. So now we're just back to, how is that any different than
that? But that's going to be very limited. And they're only doing that with the stuff that the studios know will give them money and know
because they were successful, like Joker and Batman.
Because they're not going to do that. I don't see them expanding. I think that I see them simply concluding.
It's more like we'd be stupid not to keep making these huge movies, which are obviously going to be huge again with Batman and Joker 2 or what have you. We got Lady Gaga here, so we're not backing out of this one, but we're not going to incorporate this into anything else, essentially.
Yeah, I would like to see them propose new original projects under that Elseworlds banner, but until then, it seems like they're just trying to wait out the current franchises.
All right. Mr. Gunn, take it away.
Now, Peter and I have gotten pretty lucky in terms of the four projects that are coming out over the next year. First, we have Shazam.
You know, when he's saying Peter and I got very lucky to, you know, discuss these projects, this is his way of totally spinning. We got really fucked because we had to come in and somehow like work our way around these other like four movies that were already almost done being made. We already can Batman, so our Batgirl, so we got that out of the way. But we can't do anything about these movies coming out. So yeah, I'm just going to pretend.
Shut down the Rock.
Yeah, so I'm just going to pretend that I'm excited about them. Anyway, going, moving on.
Fury of the Gods. Shazam has always been off kind of in his own part of the DCU, so he connects very well. That moves directly into The Flash, a fantastic movie that I really love. That resets the entire DC universe. Then to
speaking of Tom Cruise, to tie him back in, apparently he saw The Flash and said it was a fantastic movie.
I feel like they paid him to say that.
Possibly. I'm very curious about if it wasn't. I mean, the only thing I don't like about the movie is I just can't stand Ezra Miller. Even besides this, all the personal stuff and the.
I want to see the movie succeed, but I don't want Ezra Miller to. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. That's how I feel too. All right, moving on.
Move into Blue Beetle, a fantastic film about a kid who's a marvelous part of the DCU, and then into...
These jump cuts to me represent all the times he had to stop because he...
Believe it.
Yeah, he's like, how do I... Yeah, Blue Beetle, really excited about this fucking... Fuck, take it again.
Can we can this?
All right. Tell me more about Blue Beetle, Mr. Gunn.
Aquaman 2, which leads directly...
Blue Beetle lasted one set. He's like, yeah, Blue Beetle's a great movie. Anyway, Aquaman 2, that's got Jason Momoa. So you're going to see that, right, ladies? Come on.
To our next few projects, which I'm going to tell you about now. So
he glossed over those so fast. He said nothing about
even knows.
This.
I don't think he even knows what's going on with Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom. Because one minute has Michael Keaton, then they refilm everything with Affleck, and now it apparently has no Batman, and they keep cutting scenes out of Amber Heard. Jason Momoa was even caught on a hot mic at one point saying that the movie is garbage. Other leaks have come out basically saying that it's just has like these horrible audience.
Didn't
reactions.
It actually test worse than Batgirl tested?
It tested worse than Batgirl. So, I mean,
but they're not going to canon Jason Momoa movie, I guess, is the difference.
No, they can't do that. So, I mean, Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom is just like this like Frankenstein monster of a movie.
Lost movie.
Yeah.
Well, all right. We'll see. I mean, I watched this when it came out, and I do not remember how fast he glossed over those movies, especially the last two, because, you know, like he's like, oh, yeah, The Flash, which sets up everything that's going to come. Then we have these other two fucking dump movies that I have nothing to do with, and I just have to put out, and I don't even know how that's explained by what happens in The Flash and how it connects to the new DCU, so I'm just not going to address it. Moving on.
Peter and I, along with a group of very talented writers, have started to map out an 8 to 10 year plan of what DC Studios will be in film, television, and gaming. This first chapter is called Gods and Monsters. Now, this, what I'm about to tell you, is a part of the first chapter. It's not the entire first chapter.
Oh, this isn't even the first chapter. What do you think it just about is? You're shaking your head there.
I fucking hate this.
Why is the first thing he's announcing Creature Commanders?
This is somebody trying to really sell you on something that they know is just not going to pan out. And he should have started with fucking Superman. That should have been the first thing. I mean, come on. This is DC. They own all their shit.
First up, here's what you've been waiting for. Creature Commanders.
I fucking hate this. Don't tell me. I want to be surprised. I don't want to hear all the plans and hear how it just kind of phases out. Give me some quick previews. Make me wonder. Instead, I feel like I'm just being sold something that I'm not going to like. And I didn't like this at the beginning. And each time I see this, I'm like, you know, this is just not how you do it. This seems desperate. This seems fucking desperate. And I don't like it.
I might even like Creature Commanders, but this is not what you lead with. This is not what you lead with.
This is not like, This is DC, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, the Trinity. You start with
you don't immediately
that.
Think Creature Commanders when you hear DC Comics.
No.
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
I didn't even know who they were before this.
Me neither. I don't know who they are now. It looks
I recognize Weasel.
I recognize Frankenstein. Oh yeah, that's Weasel and Frankenstein, I think, and the Bride of Frankenstein. Two Frankenstein characters. Anyway, moving on.
Creature Commandos is an animated series. I've written all the episodes. Something we're going to do that's a little bit different at DC is we're going to have characters move into animation, out of animation, usually having the same
actor movie?
Play their voice as who plays them in live action.
He's already hedging. He's already saying usually. Yeah. He just told us the whole purpose was to interconnect all of this. Now he's already backpedaling 30 seconds later. Usually. Yeah.
The next project up is Waller. This is
like, really? These are your debuts of this new DCU. It's fucking Creature Commandos and Waller starring, I think, the same actress who does pretty good at the role, but Bonnie I'm already Davis, confused. Yeah. I'm already confused. Is it connected to Peacemaker and Suicide Squad? And this is the new.
Oh, DCU? So here's what he refuses to say. All the Peacemaker and Suicide Squad stuff that he did has absolutely remained the same. I.e., he doesn't want to fire his wife.
She's the actress, one of the actresses, right? The blonde one. Yeah. I wouldn't fire her either. Anyway,
the story of Amanda Waller, played by Viola Davis. Viola Davis is going to team up with members of Team Peacemaker, and this is a story that's been created by Crystal Henry, who did Watchmen, and Jeremy Carver, who created the Doom Patrol. It is a fantastic story.
I'm going to pause every time Remzo shakes his head. Right?
Watchmen. Why, like, Doom Patrol, I get. But
why are you even bringing up Watchmen?
Watchmen, I mean, that show, why? You were supposed to improve things. Not bring back everything that made them worse.
I couldn't make it through really only one episode of that Watchmen show.
Watch it through the end and you're just disappointed at the end of each episode.
Is the joke that I am the Watchman and I'm the one suckered into watching it?
It's, you know, what's funny is I know you're joking, but sadly it's somewhat like that.
Oh, really?
It's
like we are the watchers.
It's atrocious.
I really hope that's not. Is it worth watching for being bad or not even on that?
You know, I will say is that if you want to watch it as like a precursor to all the events that happened in real life in 2020, you'll watch that show and be like, what shit were they telling us?
All right. Maybe I'll watch it with that context. Probably not, though, if I'm being honest.
An adult beverage and some other intoxicants because it's the only way to get through it.
That's out of this world. And I can't wait for people to see it. Okay. Next up is the big one, the true beginning of the DCU. This is called...
Why didn't he lead with it then? Why don't you lead with it?
Number one.
How is Creature Commandos the first project? I just can't get over this. And then Waller. I'm not saying don't do them even, but if you're going to debut with something, can't put those to the side a minute and put your nose to the ground and make this Superman the best fucking Superman you can possibly make, even though you're already not using Henry Cavill. Which I get if he really wants to do a younger year two type Superman. Okay, Cavill doesn't really fit that role that well. But man, lead with it. How is this the third thing you mentioned?
Yeah, this is it's an atrocity that this was not the very first thing and that this is not the one film that they're saying is going to set the stage for everything.
By the way, I did check out I'll probably talk about this more in a Patreon show. I think I'm going to start going through my pull list a little bit now that I have a little bit of a pull list. I did read the new Joshua Williamson. I think he's a Williamson Superman. And I liked it. That's all I'll say. I just read one issue. I liked it.
I'm hearing good things about that. I'm hearing good things about Superman Lost. I think I'll wait for a graphic novel to come out.
My comic guy, he tried to sell me on Superman Lost, but I don't fully trust Christopher Priest right now. So we'll see. I might go back to him. We'll see. Moving on. All right. Tell me more about Superman, James Gunn, which you should have done 2 minutes ago.
Superman Legacy. This is being written by me.
Written by me. This is all stuff that's written by him. And that's why it's the first stuff that's coming out. Anyway.
In the middle of it, I'm having a great time doing it. And Superman will be released into theaters July 11th, 2025. Okay. The next thing is a big premiere.
All right. So are you excited? It's just a little over 2 years and 3 months away. 27 months or so away, if James Gunn's timeline is accurate, till the debut of Superman. Is that Superman Legacy? Is that what he called it?
Superman Legacy.
All right. What do you just think about? Let's try to put emotions about Henry Cavill aside for a minute. I love Henry Cavill as Superman. You love Henry Cavill as Superman. Everybody loves Henry Cavill as Superman. That's not what's happening here. So let's just try to toss that to the side. Otherwise, what do you think? I want to say it's not starting his DCU, but it is at least the first movie. At least the others are just these like little side projects. What do you think of his choice to not only restart it with Superman, but to do so with sort of a younger year two style Superman?
I'm more, what I will say does excite me about this movie is that it's not going to be an origin story. I think, you know,
yeah, we've had enough of that.
Yeah, like we've had enough of that.
It's at Spider-Man levels where we just saw like three versions of the origin in the 10-15 year span. Yeah. We don't need that anymore.
Everything is indicating that this is going to be highly based off of All-Star Superman, which is my favorite Superman story.
Is that the Alan Moore one?
No, this is the Alan Moore one is, you know,
Grant Morrison is All-Star Superman, right?
I think it's Mark Millar.
All right.
Well, Alan Moore did What Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, which is actually that was actually an inspiration for All-Star Superman. All-Star Superman is kind of like
Grant Morrison. It is Grant Morrison.
It's Grant Morrison. Yeah. Yes, I mean, it's really good. I really love it. I really like the animated film that came out in like 2009, 2010. If he is following through, which is why I think they're showing so much imagery from All-Star Superman, all the promos for Legacy, I think that'll be really fucking good. Well, so I'm excited for that.
If there's one thing that's clear to me is that, yes, James Gunn is a comic fan, but he is a comic fan of a very certain era. And that is like mid to late 90s to like late to the Remzo era, basically. And he really loves Grant Morrison. And that is not the first time that that'll be clear during this, which can be good or bad. I like Grant Morrison, but I think at times the reverence that some writers and creators have for Grant Morrison can lead to them trying to Grant Morrison up their stories, which is what we're seeing right now with Chip Zdarsky in the main Batman book. I'm just reading it because I want to see how Grant Morrison he takes it, because he's kind of got me hooked in that way. But it's not great, to be honest. And and you can tell he just wants to Grant Morrison it up, and that's my fear of James Gunn. Are you going to take your reverence for Grant Morrison and Grant Morrison everything up? And to me, there's a place for Grant Morrison-esque stuff, but it shouldn't be everything. And that's when it becomes everything is when it becomes, I start rolling my eyes.
I agree.
All right. Yeah. Good. No need to discuss further then. Very good.
Are you happy that they're skipping the origin?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't need it again. I don't see any reason to. I have questions, but we'll get to those in a bit.
Series called Lanterns. This is a story of a couple of Green Lanterns.
Ooh, I know you like them using that Earth 2 look.
When I was like giving that face, it's not that I don't like the idea. I love this idea. Don't show me the Earth 1 Lanterns.
And then take it away.
Like,
you better give me these. Now, they obviously chose this image for a reason. We're seeing the Hal Jordan and John Stewart from Green Lantern Earth 1, which Remzo and I have reviewed way back on the first iteration of Second Print Comics. Should be in your feed if you look up just Green Lantern Year 1. Not Year 1. Earth 1.
That's a fan favorite. I sent out more copies of Green Lantern Earth 1 to some of our patrons than any other book. And everyone who's read it has just been like, this is one of the coolest stories I've read in a long time.
Indeed. So, yeah, and I enjoyed it as well. So, look, if they stick to somewhat to the look and feel of that, I will be a fan. But that, well, I'll let James explain.
John Stewart and Hal Jordan, and we have a few other lanterns peppered in there, but this is really a terrestrial-based TV show, which is almost like True Detective with a couple of Green Lanterns who are space cops watching over Precinct Earth.
Do you think it's odd to have a terrestrial-based show for space cops? I mean, I get that Earth is like their sector, but you would think a show like this would be much more space-centered.
Immediately, I'm thinking budget.
Space costs money.
Space costs
Earth
money.
Is cheap. Earth is free.
They
Earth
don't want right everything here to be on a green screen, but you know,
well, I'm happy for that. I am so sick of green screen, quantum mania, everything's on a green screen that if it means I get some space cops doing street level crime type crime solving, I'm okay with it. Now
this should have been a cartoon.
This is not to be confused with, there was another Green Lantern series in the works at HBO Max that has been up and down. First, it was going to have Jon Stewart. Then it was going to have Guy Gardner. But this is not that series. That series apparently has just died and gone to the wayside and is now being replaced by this Lanterns project. This is actually what I think, because there was that Green Lantern movie with Ryan Reynolds, which is just absurd. We don't talk about that. But besides that, and of course the one scene in the Snyder Cut with the Green Lantern in the flashback, we haven't really seen any kind of like real portrayal of a Green Lantern on the silver screen, so to speak, not in any kind of substantive way.
No, again, they couldn't even get him into the Snyder Cut. They had to go ahead and literally replace him with Martian Manhunter last minute.
Yeah, I think because they wanted to do that other Lantern series, so they're like, don't introduce a Lantern in there because people are going to be confused when we do this other series, yada yada yada. Of course, none of this happened anyway. Moving on. But I am excited about that. If I was going to choose one I've heard so far, I'm most I'm most interested in it because only, especially the way it's described.
Yeah, only because I think they're going to channel the Earth One tone.
I mean, with this, I'd like to think they didn't choose this image for no reason at all. So if that's the case, I think this is the first one we've heard that James Gunn's not writing. And look, I like James Gunn as a writer, I think, and as a director or what have you. My concern with James Gunn is it's like the Taika Waititi thing. Taika Waititi came in and added some humor, added more of his style to the Thor movies, and then you let him go wild with it, and then you get Love and Thunder, which is all just pure slapstick stuff. And I fear that if James Gunn's up his stuff too much, it will change the whole feel of everything, where it is like Marvel now is basically all comedy all the time. And when that doesn't hit, it's just cringe. Yeah. So I hope they don't fall into that same trap.
Patreon supporters can go ahead and hear the reviews of Peacemaker that Derek and I did about a year ago. We loved it, but I don't want to see everybody basically like Peacemaker.
Me neither. Yeah, Peacemaker was fine, but I don't need eight Peacemakers. One Peacemaker is fine. I will deal with that. All right, moving along, Mr. Gunn.
In it, they discover a terrifying mystery that ties into our larger story of the DCU.
Now, I like that. I like the idea of them having this sort of like mystery crime, True Detective-esque. I love True Detective. So I think if it's true that it's sort of in that style, but in the DCU in a similar tone, if they're channeling that Earth One tone and they're uncovering some mystery, like I like the idea of like not like every story is connected in the sense that every character has to cross over with each other, but in the sense that some mystery or something might come up in a show that then if you also watch this other show, that thing comes up. You don't necessarily have needed to watch them all, because I think that MCU is in that trap now where you feel like you need to watch 30 movies to catch up. So new fans are just like in the dust. But I like interconnectivity when done in a way that it doesn't punish you for not seeing everything. If you just like the one thing, it's okay. But if not, you kind of get this little extra bonus.
Exactly.
All right. Now this is where it's going to get interesting.
Next is a big movie called The Authority. The Authority is a passion project.
Remzo's shaking his head. Go on. Two seconds in to shake your head. Why are you upset about The Authority?
How could you do this without introducing how could you have the inverse Justice League before you introduce the fucking Justice League?
That's the weird thing. I mean, I like conceptually the idea of an Authority movie. I don't like it.
Later
or as an Elseworlds thing. But now, he's putting this laying this down as part of the DCU. So you're telling me this DCU is going to have this Authority come up. Like you said, we have the Midnighter and Apollo are like the two big ones that are basically the inverse Batman and Superman. So like you said, so we're going to see the knockoff Batman in this DCU before we see the Batman in this DCU. We're going to see knockoff Superman right after regular Superman. And yeah, it's to me, I agree. This is the kind of book, the kind of team that's cool to introduce in your universe. Like Marvel is going to be bringing in the Thunderbolts. Now, of course, I don't really trust them to do it right, but nonetheless, they're doing that after we've established that we had the Avengers and we've laid the foundation of what a regular super team is. Here, we're going to get the sort of inverse, sort of darker version of a super team before we get the super team. That's very
odd. It's so misplaced right now.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll hear him out because I do like the Authority book in real life. So I'm afraid to see, which is also what scares me, because it's like this is one property that's never been ruined for me. Even when they do things like bring these characters into the DCU randomly, like Grifter suddenly is in Batman, I actually always end up never hating it that much, because I the characters are not overexposed to me, and they usually do stick true to the characters pretty well when they bring them in. So even if they appear in some random book, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember Midnighter. I like him. So just don't ruin these characters for me. That's all I ask, Mr. Gun, because I do still like them.
It's based on the Marvelous Wildstorm characters we are now bringing into the DCU, and will interact with all of our primary DCU characters. The Authority are a group of superheroes who think the world is broken and they want to fix it by any means necessary. I think it's a very different look at superheroes. We're doing a television series called Paradise.
Isn't that different though?
Did he say anything else that day? You need that.
Yeah, but like, you know, we're having a morally questionable group of series. That's not that new.
No, I think we've seen that.
That's so overplayed. Like everyone is like, you know, everyone is 50 Shades of Batman and The Watchmen. It's like, I don't know whether I should save people. It's like, shut up, man.
He's like finally, we're going to deconstruct superheroes. Because that's never been done. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm open-minded on it because I want to see it done well. So if you're going to do it, I'm going to cross my fingers and hope for the best.
Same.
We'll see.
Lost. Paradise Lost is a story of Paradise Island, usually known as Themyscira.
I could be wrong. I think this one's also based on a Grant Morrison Wonder Woman story. I could be wrong there. Don't quote me.
This is going to be so fucking
of
woke.
Wonder Woman. It's almost like...
And let's see what he says.
Game of Thrones with Westeros, but with all of the inhabitants of...
Don't tell me. I hate when people do this. When people use a description of something we love and something that he knows people think is pretty awesome, you know, casting out the last season or two. Generally, people think Game of Thrones and they think this was a badass show. I hate that. It's like, first of all, you're not going to be as good as Game of Thrones. So you're either setting the expectation too high or, I mean, that's it. That's like, there's no counter. Setting the expectation too high.
Yeah, like this is a horrible marketing practice. And this isn't like, you know, where's the beef with Wendy's? This is straight up. If you like this, then you will definitely like this. It's like, no, if people like that, they just go for that. They don't go for the substitute.
Indeed. All right. What does he have to say?
Paradise Island. The introduction of the DCU's Batman.
Oh, we glossed over that one real quick. All right.
So it's a Wonder Woman series without Wonder Woman.
And Patty Jenkins, this is, you're fired. See, her Wonder Woman movie is gone. That was another one that was coming. A Wonder Woman 3, that's out of here. It's not even clear if Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman or not. He acts, that's what else confuses me about the Henry Cavill thing. Maybe it's just the age thing of the movie they want to do. But it seems like he's like, we're just starting fresh. Then you hear, well, maybe Jason Momoa is sticking around. Maybe we'll have Gal Gadot still. Maybe Shazam.
Ezra Miller.
Maybe even Ezra Miller. Suddenly you're like, oh, this seems like it was just Henry Cavill actually now, potentially. I guess we'll find out. All right. So moving on. This is the one that I think is the most interesting to me in many ways. So let's hear what he has to say.
Is the Brave and the Bold. The Brave and the Bold is the story of Batman and his actual son, Damian Wayne. This is based on Grant Morrison's great comic book run. Damian Wayne is my favorite Robin. He's a little assassin
who
Batman tries to get in line. And so this is the story of the two of them and the beginning of sort of the Bat family in the DCU. Next up is
I can't even handle that Booster Gold is next, but whatever. Yeah. So here's the interesting thing about this whole layout so far. Younger Superman. We're going to start with a year or two Superman. But we're also going to start with an old-ass Batman who's old enough that he's already got a 13-year-old son and was Batman when he conceived of that son. So if we're doing older Batman, why not just keep Michael Keaton or Ben Affleck? They're both older, grizzled Batman that play older Batman. Now, there is a rumor that, and I don't know the veracity of any of this stuff, but there is a rumor that there are going to be three Batmans in the Flash movie. It starts off with Affleck before he messes up the universe. Then we know we get Michael Keaton. That's a very, very publicly known information. But there's a rumor that that movie is going to end with a third Batman coming in and crossing over. And that Batman may be the one that stars in this movie. To be honest, I heard
another one that said that it's going to be George Clooney.
But one of the potential. There's only three people it can be based on that description, and Adam West is dead too, right? So it's not going to be him. George Clooney, which would seem weird. Val Kilmer, but that's not possible because he can't talk. And Christian Bale. There's nobody else.
I
would hate.
I think there's a lot, as we've talked about. I think there's a lot of intention with the artwork that they're showing, and once again, we have another Grant.
Is that
Morrison.
Why they're showing me this Booster Gold wink face right now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he hams it up. I would love to see an actor who can ham up Booster Gold, but I mean, that Grant Morrison run of Batman and Robin that they pulled that cover from is my favorite Batman run. I actually have that full run of Batman and Robin from Grant Morrison from I think like 2010, 2011, and I really did like it. I'm wondering, like, you know, J.J. Abrams, what is it?
There you go. I'll give Batman. You a nice, this is why you need the video. I'm going to give you a nice still shot of the Batman and Robin cover.
J.J. Abrams, Batman, the Caped Crusader is apparently going to Hulu now. So it's like,
what here is that? Is that a cartoon?
It's a cartoon. So it's like, you know, well, how is it you're going to have that cartoon when you said you want to do all of this?
So I'm saying he's already backing out of all this. The cartoon has to match the video game, has to match the TV. Like, yeah, when it's convenient, that'll happen. And most of the time, probably won't once again. But again, Grant Morrison it up. I mean, this is a Grant Morrison. I mean, Grant Morrison brought in, I believe he invented the character.
I think so.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And did this whole storyline, which I haven't read, which is highly regarded. I think you're a fan of it. So I maybe you'll give me a what Mark missed, some homework I can do. A good intro of Damian's story.
I mean, what's weird about it, though, is
Send me the specific book.
I will. It's just called Batman and Robin from 2011.
Okay. How many issues do I have to read?
I think it's about 30-something.
And is that his debut, or is there another issue I need to read?
There was another one. I'll send you for Damian.
Send me some homework.
You don't really need to see too much. What's weird about, though, is that that's not Bruce Wayne.
Oh, is that Nightwing?
Yeah, it's Nightwing.
Because this is when Batman disappeared, right? Is that crossover with
that? At the end of Final Crisis.
Right, which is its whole thing that someday we will cover in podcast form. Yeah. I'm not sure how, but we will. All right, so what do you think about this? Here's what's weird to me. Okay, so do these movies take place in different time periods? Is Superman Legacy like a prequel to the DCU, which might make more sense? Or is it we have a universe where Superman is new and Batman is old? And if so, didn't we just do that? We just did that in BVS, where Batman's been around forever and Superman's this new upstart on the scene. So I kind of hope they don't do that same dynamic, just because we just saw it, and I don't need that again. I liked it kind of the first time. I just don't need it again. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about this? Are you excited?
I hope they do it well. I hope they do it well. I mean, he's choosing the right stories to pull films from. I will say that. If he's doing All-Star Superman, perfect. If he's doing Green Lantern Earth One, perfect. If he's doing stuff that kind of echoes around Batman Robin, perfect. I just want it to be done well.
All right. Well, me too. I will say, if they brought, which I don't think is going to happen, I think
he's choosing my favorite books. From very specific.
That's what I'm saying, man. James Gunn is a Remzo comic fan, so we'll see.
I think me and him would totally jive with the selection of stories.
Maybe you should write him a letter and try to get a writing.
Dear Mr. Gunn, I wrote you, but you still don't write back. What's the Stan thing? Slim, I tried writing you, but you don't write back.
Anyway. So what would catch my interest would be if the end of the Flash movie ends with a reveal of Christian Bale Batman being the one in this movie and him taking on some young son after he's been around for 20 years. I might find that interesting. I'm not saying it would be good or bad, but I would be interesting and it would catch my attention. If they did this with George Clooney, I almost feel like they have to do it with an actor that's already been Batman, because otherwise what? I don't need another old Batman that shows up old, because if so, just keep Affleck.
I hope it's not the guy who played Batman Titans, who was also in Game of Thrones, because that was a horrible casting.
Who's that?
I don't remember his name.
What is Batman Titans? What is this?
In the show Titans, they have their own Bruce Wayne.
Got you.
It's horrible.
He's who from Game of Thrones, is he?
He's the guy that plays Khaleesi's like right-hand man, the old guy who gets burnt alive at the end of the series.
That guy plays Batman?
That guy plays Batman.
Well, that's weird.
It is weird. It was not good.
All right. Well, moving on. Moving on to Booster Gold. Tell us about Booster Gold, Mr. Gunn.
DCU. Next up is a TV series called Booster Gold. Booster Gold is one of comics really pop.
Let's stop right here. What are your general thoughts? I feel like no one can have a mild opinion on Booster Gold. I think you either have to enjoy this character or not be able to stand it. Where do you lie?
I like Booster Gold.
I do too.
I'll admit it.
I think
Booster Gold is the one property where it's like, if you're going to make it kind of like Peacemaker, this is where you kind of do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this character was made to be hammed up. So I would be very curious. Who would you cast as Booster Gold? Do you have anybody in mind?
Yes. Nathan Fillion.
Who's he?
He's a guy from Firefly.
Oh, God. This again. All right. In that case, we're going to move on.
Popular cult heroes. He is a fascinating guy. He's a loser from the future who uses future technology to come back to present.
What about Skinny Jonah Hill.
Skinny Joe.
Bradley. The problem is all the actors I know are like, I don't know anyone young. I know actors my age and older.
I would choose Josh Peck.
What about Will Ferrell? Who's Josh Peck? Who are these people?
Josh Peck was from Drake and Josh. Actors? You were too old for that show.
Yeah. But Will Ferrell is Booster Gold.
Michael Cena.
Joe Pesci is Booster Gold. Hey, I'm time traveling here.
Day and become a superhero so that people will love him. It is basically the superhero story of imposter syndrome on an HBO Max series. One of my favorite comic book series from last year was Tom King's run on Supergirl.
Oh, geez. Now I don't trust this man at all. He just said, first of all, Tom King did a Supergirl run?
He did a Supergirl run.
When the fuck did that happen?
It was right after Adam Strange.
Because I feel like they never shut up about Tom King, and they never stopped telling me when Tom King is writing something, and how did I not have that hammered into my brain that that existed? How?
It was just...
Is it me, or do they not promote Tom King's superhero stuff as much since his Batman run? They promote other stuff. Rorschach was heavily promoted.
Well, they gave him Rorschach. Well, the Jai Lee situation of the Rorschach covers kind of killed the promotion for that, but... He also wrote an Adam Strange limited series, which my brother Ryan really liked. But I know about the Supergirl series.
Ryan also likes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So we're
which
not
is
gonna,
I mean, Ryan, if you're listening to this, your taste is in question. But
I still have the offer out there. You join the $100 Patreon, I'll watch the whole show.
That's actually
not expensive amount to I should be charging a lot more.
I don't know why Tom King keeps getting these opportunities. I mean, they killed his New Gods movie. They should have just let sleeping dogs lie.
I think if Tom Cruise wrote this book, wrote the script, I'd be all over it. I think Tom King and Grant Morrison are both writers that have done good stuff. Don't get me wrong. They've also done horrendously bad stuff. I think should be mentioned Heroes in Crisis being one of the worst stories that's ever existed.
Ever.
That DC and various writers have tried everything they could do to just run away from and pretend didn't happen, but it affected too many things and it did happen. So I don't trust people like James Gunn that only seem to praise Grant Morrison and Tom King, because again, while they're talented writers, they also do a lot of weird stuff for the sake of weird stuff. And it just worries me that there's a little too much potential for just like, we're going to deconstruct everything and make everything about what really is a hero. And like, I just feel like that's where, with the influences that I'm hearing, that's where things could be going, which is not really what I want.
I mean, audiences are tired of that too. It's one of those reasons why.
That's why Tom Cruise, that's why the new Top Gun did so well. Cause we're not deconstructing. We're back to Americana. And it's like, we're back to unapologetic, we kick ass and freedom rules. So I think this kind of stuff is like, you're 20 years too late, and he's acting like he's reinventing superheroes here. It's like, dude, people have been doing this for quite some time now. But anyway,
agree. I mean, that's why Jupiter's Legacy died on Netflix.
Naming more things, I don't know.
People are just. I did an episode talking about.
Oh, that's right. That shitty show that I didn't watch.
Yeah, I mean, it was not worth your time.
Remzo doesn't like it. Just stay away. All right. This man watched Wonder Woman 1984 3 times in the theater voluntarily.
Were attacked by China and they went ahead and took down the entire entertainment.
And
industry.
You said, at least I have Gal Gadot.
Yeah, it's cabin fever. It's like, just look pretty, Gal. Just look pretty.
All right. Let's see what James Gunn is going to tell me about now.
Woman of Tomorrow. And so we're going to turn that into a big science fiction epic film. Now, Superman is a guy who was sent to Earth and raised by loving parents. Whereas Supergirl in this story, she is a character who was raised on a chunk of Krypton. She watched everybody around her perish in some terrible way. So she's a much more jaded character. And that brings me to Swamp Thing.
Okay, before we get there, what do you think about the Supergirl thing? I wonder if
it's going to be the same chick from Flash.
I don't know what to think, because on one hand we're redoing everything and bringing in fresh everything and fresh everyone. On the other hand, we have these other characters that we're just introducing. So I guess he can't say if it's not, because that kind of undercuts the girl they already had to be Supergirl. So I guess does this mean that all these other shows are done, or
all
those
the Arrowverse stuff?
That stuff's all going to be done, right?
It's
all over. And what about that Superman and Lois show?
He basically said that has like one or two seasons and then that's over too.
All right. So we're going to wind all this shit down and then incorporate it all into here. All right. We'll see.
Last thing we're going to talk about.
I am excited conceptually about what he's talking about right here, which is Swamp Thing.
I liked the Swamp Thing that came out with Universe One. It's on HBO Max now.
Is it there now still?
Yeah. It's on HBO Max. It's just one season, right? Fucking good. Yeah. I really wanted that to continue.
That I will watch. Swamp Thing is one of my favorite characters of all time in no small part. In fact, 100% due to Alan Moore's amazing Saga of the Swamp Thing run, which, as you're about to hear, supposedly is an influence on this.
About a very dark horror story in the origins of the monster who is Swamp Thing. And although it's totally outside of the rest of the DCU, it will still feed into the rest of the stories.
Okay. See, like stuff like that, again, It's all about how you do it. But conceptually, I like the idea of, yes, this is such a different tone. He probably shouldn't be like mixing it up with Superman in these movies, but you can still plant little seeds. Like maybe we see a Constantine here or something like that. And then we also see Constantine, you know, brush aside some other character in another movie. Stuff like that, I'm for. I don't necessarily need to see Swamp Thing teaming up with Batman, though. Not right away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, those are the stories that I can tell you about right now.
Ooh, there's more.
I've loved DC characters since I was a child.
There's more I don't even
know
about.
They're incredibly important to me. I knew that this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do something very different. One of the things that's very important for me in all of these movies and TV series is that...
He didn't mention it here. I feel like I saw it somewhere else that he mentioned that it was influenced by Alan Moore's Swamp Thing. But yeah, he didn't mention it in this video, which is weird because it went...
I think it was in another interview.
He went out of his way to mention Grant Morrison and Tom King.
Man, I can't wait. Maybe it's because he doesn't want Alan Moore to immediately start shitting on
him. I don't want someone writing about me, Miss Swamp Thing, and me John Constantine.
Make sure the checks arrive promptly.
Every time I do Alan Moore, he becomes Australian by the end. I don't know
why. He's more and more shades of Russell Crowe.
Put another shrimp on the Bobby and get me some Swamp Thing, mate. All right.
The director's vision and the vision of the writers and all of the creators is unique and something special. Storytelling
Except
is always king. That's all that matters to us. And I want to be true to those.
Well, I hope, I mean, that philosophy is a good one. So I hope that's true. And it's not just about, which would explain a lot of his moves. Because to be honest, you know, if it was just like fan service and we're keeping Henry Cavill only because it's fan service and because he had another agreement, but he doesn't fit the story we're telling, then it probably does make sense as to make the tough move and say, we're not using you for this. Maybe we'll use you when we finally do a Crisis on Infinite Earths and we can just kind of blow the wheels off this.
Something he said in another interview, which I also did really like, was when he was like, listen, we're not going to start filming a movie before the script is even done. And if that means delaying it, then we're going to delay it.
So expect delays.
Expect delays, yeah.
Right.
But like I get that too. And he kind of shits on Marvel and he kind of shits on his experience for Suicide Squad. He's basically like, listen, the studios have too much sway in how the films are done, and that we're rewriting the script as we're going half the time. And what we get is these jumbled productions. And that's not going to happen while he's overseeing things. And honestly, I would rather have a movie delayed so that it is actually completed and filmed before they start doing what they have Black Adam, where they, you know, that came out in like October and they were chopping it up until like August.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's wrap this up, Jamesy.
I want to be true to you guys and really give you something different than you've ever seen before. Anyway,
I think what else that bothers me about James Gunn is that he looks like he's the manager at my local Starbucks. And that just, he has the Starbucks physiogeny. Nothing wrong with working at Starbucks, by the way. I'm just saying there's a certain type of person that works at Starbucks, and James Gunn is the male version of that person. He doesn't have a nose ring or purple hair, so he probably would be more of a management level, but he still has the same vibe.
He's conservative punk rock, and I always kind of rubs me the wrong way, because it's like, you want to relate to me, you want to seem edgy, but I mean, he's not doing anything unique. Oh, a shared cinematic universe, not unique. Oh, we're going to deconstruct superheroes, not unique. Oh, we're going off of newer stories. Marvel has almost exclusively been picking things up that were published after 2003, since the stage one of the MCU.
Shit has been in Remzo era, all these movies.
Yeah, like, you know, it's not, I don't see any of this and think, wow, that's brand new. Other than the guy that is in the video game and in the cartoon is also going to be in the movie. That's new, but I wouldn't even say, wow, that excites me. I'm like, okay, like,
Someone that's not going to buy a game, like, I'm not going to go buy some Justice League game just because the fucking Batman is in the, and like, you know, like, you're going to buy the games or not.
I don't own a game system.
I don't play games, so they're not going to,
I don't own any of that.
They're not going to get someone who's not going to already get the game to suddenly become a gamer or go play a game just because of a voice. If anything, someone that's already going to get the game might be like, oh, sweet, this is also the guy that plays Batman. But it's not going to change who's buying the game.
That's not, like, I don't understand the necessity of it.
No, it seems like it's just something he wants to say, you know, like, and then whatever.
Because he's grasping.
Well, let's see. He's wrapping it up here.
Everybody, I appreciate you watching. I hope this was exciting for you.
It was.
Because it's really exciting for me. And I can't wait to start to dive into these stories with you guys on this grand adventure. Thank you so much.
I know, he does seem excited. He just seems genuinely excited.
I could write my own fucking Superman movie. You better believe I'd be excited too.
Yeah. So I believe him on that. I don't disbelieve his intentions. I believe his intentions are to create a cohesive, awesome, definitive universe that we've been lacking for so long in DC. I think part of it too is it's for people like us, it's coming across the heels of like almost getting the Snyderverse back, and then like feeling like we'll even get those sequels, and then it's like, and then we see Henry Cavill and we start to see the possibilities open up again, and then suddenly Affleck is back in back in the Flash movie and back as Batman and Aquaman, so we think, okay, the gang's all around, why wouldn't they just do a Justice League sequel Snyderverse style? And then right when you're thinking that, right when you see Henry Cavill back on screen, James Gunn comes in, it's like the meme of the Grim Reaper at the door. It's like I think that is a meme of James Gunn. It's like, yeah, it's like The Rock, Henry Cavill, like Gal Gadot or whatever. So I think that's just like, but at the same time, the DCEU was kind of a mess in terms of its interconnectivity. And unless they were going to go full Snyderverse and actually just hand in the reins, I think some kind of reset does make sense, especially when they're doing this Flashpoint movie. What better time to actually tie it into a story? So you can still say this stuff mattered, everything matters. You can still say that stuff happened. It just got rewritten when the Flash did this, and they can always say like fucking Blue Beetle takes place before the Flash, or Aquaman 2 takes place before the Flash, whatever. You know, that's probably what they'll end up doing.
Yeah, I mean, I question the lineup, but you know, I mean, I'm ambivalent towards it. I'm just upset with how they're handling it. But ultimately, what's going to be a test is their first project, which on the outset should not be Creatures Commandos. It should be Superman Legacy. And that's it. Like, I'm not
Creature Commandos.
I don't know how to base an entire new cinematic universe based off that. Because, I mean, if they're saying it starts with Flashpoint, technically, doesn't it start with Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom?
That's the weird thing, too.
Not the clean slate. I mean, this is starting a race and falling flat on your face.
That's the weird thing about how it starts. He's like, oh, we're starting a flesh slate with the Flash movie, and then we have Aquaman 2, and then we have Blue Beetle. Oh, yeah, and then we really start a fresh slate with Creature Commandos. You're like, so which is it? Obviously, we know the real story. It's just that they already made those movies, and they have to put them out, and they're not going to eat another Batgirl, so they're just putting them out. So that's the way it is, and he has to kind of work around that. That's what it really comes down to. So I'll judge him on what he actually puts out there at the end of the day. I don't know if I'll even judge him on Creature Commandos. I'll just judge the decision to start with it. I'll judge him mostly on how, I mean, the Superman movie is going to be the big test. We've already seen what he does in the Waller verse era section of things. We know that's kind of got its own vibe. I expect the show to be similar in feel, and then Creature Commandos, whatever, that's his own weird cartoon thing. Superman is going to tell us like, what are you doing here? You know, what are you doing here? Where are you going with this? I'm excited in the sense I want to see a good Superman movie. And he's shown me good movies before, so I think he's capable of it. We know he's capable of making some good films. We just don't know if he's capable of overseeing all these films while still being his own director, overseeing himself on certain projects.
I mean, he's going to outdo Feige, because Feige's not a writer. Feige's not a director. Yeah, Feige is an expert producer. But we even see now that even he could be stretched.
Well, yeah, you oversee like 35 projects over the next 8 years. And then suddenly your hands aren't in it, and things get weird. And then you get She-Hulk, and then you get Feige-Bot or whatever the fuck that was. Mm-hmm. So if you had to rate your overall interest in the slate of films coming on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate them?
6.
Interesting. I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to go 7.
I can tell you what the ones I am eager to see are.
Okay.
It's Superman Legacy, because mm-hmm. that, if you don't have a good Superman movie, especially if he's going to be the heart of your universe, I'm sorry, it's a failure to launch. It has to be Superman. Even for people who are not Superman fans, it starts and ends with Superman. And then it's Lanterns, because I, as somebody who am not a Green Lantern fan, love that Green Lantern Earth One storyline. I think there's so much good in it that if he does it the way he built it as, could potentially be a really like groundbreaking show.
Yeah, I think
and then everything else I'm just really blah about.
I'm actually most interested for the same reason, Superman Legacy. And then after that, the two I'm most interested in after that are Brave and the Bold, because I am just curious how they handle the whole thing, how they introduce a Damian and how they explain Batman's history.
Because we're going to have that, but we're still going to have the Batman too. So it's like, if I don't like that, I can just go over to Batman.
I guess that's the nice thing. So if the other Batman sucks, you're like, well, I'll just pretend this is my, this is Pattinson's my Batman. Mm-hmm. And then Swamp Thing, because I love Swamp Thing. And if he really is somewhat Alan Moore inspired, I'm curious what they did with it. And I'm curious how they do this thing of it's not connected to the main stories, but it will be interconnected in some way. So if done right, that could be really awesome. And it could also be just a complete disaster. So I guess that's what makes my interest so high in it.
Yeah,
I'm not excited. I can't say 8, 9, 10. I'm not super excited, but I'm very interested. Let's put it that way. Especially as we start getting casting rumors and stuff like that.
Like, I'm not gonna pay to watch Shazam 2. I'm not. No,
I'm with you in solidarity.
I'll
HBO Max. I will wait for you.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna do that. I'll go see Flashpoint, but I don't even know how I feel about Aquaman: The Last Kingdom.
Flashpoint might be the only movie I watched in the theaters this year for the rest of the year. I don't even know if I'm going to go. If I do go see Marvels in the theater, it will be exclusively so I can do this review for our patrons, because that's how much we love them. So I may do it for that reason.
I would rather go see Cocaine Bear, but I think I learned about that too far. I don't even think it's playing anymore in theaters. But yeah, I think it's just going to be Flashpoint. That's it.
I don't need to watch Cocaine Bear. I live Cocaine Bear. All right. That's all I have to say. Remzo, as we wrap up here, why don't you tell everybody stuff they need to know? How can they give us money? See this live. You could have seen this live. You're a patron, for example.
Folks, go ahead and you could see our smoldering good looks over on YouTube at Second Print Comics Podcast over there. And please, while you're at it, go ahead and help support, keep this community going, keep the fun moving, keep everything jiving over at patreon.com/secondprintpod. We've got Claire Continues, Tales from the Fuck It Pile, Case of the Runs. We've got the Degenerate Panel over from my old podcast on the run of Rems and Martinez, which is completely done the multiverse shift over. We went ahead and did a full hour plus episode over. Well, don't call it a reboot, because we've been here for years. And we've got Remzo versus DCEU, where I'm almost done with the DCEU era of DC films, and so much more. I've got a graphic novel I gotta go ahead and send out to somebody tomorrow. I mean, so many different levels, so many different ways. If you've been listening to the last couple months, you know that we've had patrons who produce episodes. So come on, sit back, relax, and let us entertain you. And if nothing else, it's sweet, it's simple, it's music to your ears. It's read comics and change the world. Good night, America.
Adios.